Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we talk about some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host, Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hey there.
So we usually stick around the South, but since it's almost Halloween, why not go up north to Salem, Massachusetts, one of the most haunted cities in the country? So today, we're going to do a show on the Samuel Pickman House. Now, that's not to be confused with the Samuel Parkman House in Boston, which we did a month or two ago. Alan, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about the house?
In 1639, Master Carpenter Nathaniel Pickman came to Salem, Massachusetts from Bristol, England. Once he got established and began building homes for wealthy merchants, Pickman bought a large plot of land around the old burying point and built houses for his children. When his son Samuel got married, Nathaniel bought another plot of land on the corner of Charter and Liberty Streets and built a wooden house for the newlyweds. However, over the years, the house changed hands and was remodeled and renovated several times. In the late 17th century, Benjamin Lind, the Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, lived in the house. His son Benjamin grew up in the home, and he would later go on to preside over the Boston Massacre Trials, which ultimately was a prelude to the American Revolution.
In 1800, French artist Michel Felice Corneille bought the house and lived there for several years. Like most artists, Corneille was considered to be eccentric, and his neighbors worried about his well-being, especially when they spotted him eating a strange red vegetable that was believed to be acidic and full of poison. Corneille grew the vegetable in his garden, and after a while, his neighbors began eating them too. Well, that strange vegetable Corneille ate? It was a tomato. Corneille is credited with introducing tomatoes to the American diet. Over the years, the house was abandoned and became a haven for vagrants and the homeless. In the 1960s, it was slated for demolition when a local realtor noticed something odd about beams in the house and asked a local historian to come check it out. The realtor's suspicions led to the rediscovery of the long-forgotten Pickman House. In 1969, the house was renovated, restored, and brought up to code. The home was available for tours for several years, but now it's closed to the public.
Like most old homes in New England, there are some ghost stories that go along with the Pickman House. According to Salem lore, in the late 17th century, a devout Puritan man who made a living as a dock worker moved into the home with his wife and young daughter. The family was happy for a while, but one brutal Salem winter, the man was having a hard time finding work, and the stress of providing for his family started to wear him down, and little by little, his sanity began slipping away. Due to his beliefs, he believed the Lord was testing him and thought perhaps demons were inside his home. The young man slowly went crazy and had violent outbursts towards his wife and daughter. After one testy exchange, he took his daughter to the attic and chained her to the wall and just left her there. After 2 days, his wife came to him and pleaded for him to calm down and unchain his daughter because she desperately needed water and something to eat. But he wasn't having any of it, and he was tired of listening to her too. The man violently threw his wife against a wall and knocked her unconscious. He grabbed her by her hair and drug her outside and tied her to a tree. As she struggled to regain consciousness, her husband went inside and began to heat a block of wax in a pan on the stove. Once the wax began to boil, he took the pan outside and poured it over his wife's head. With boiling hot wax rolling down her face, she tried to scream for help, but the wax began to harden in her mouth, and she began to choke. As she slowly and painfully died, her husband walked back into the house and made his way upstairs to the attic. He grabbed some rope and tied it to a beam. Then he tied the other end around his neck. As he stood on a chair, he took one last look at the limp, lifeless body of his daughter and then jumped. His neighbors discovered the body hanging there beside his daughter.
Since the incident, people have claimed to have seen the young girl looking out of the upstairs window. In fact, it's not uncommon to take a picture of the window and see a girl staring back at you. Sometimes you can also see strange lights in the window late at night. If you go to Salem and want to see the house, it's behind the Peabody Essex Museum on Charter Street. It's centrally located to tourists as it's right behind the Old Burying Point, which is the oldest cemetery in Salem. The Pigman House is also right next to the Salem Witch Trial Memorial that was built in 1992. The Witch Trial Memorial is something everyone who visits Salem needs to see. Stone markers were placed in the memorial to commemorate those who were wrongly convicted of being a witch and later hanged. Salem is such a cool place, and with almost 400 years of history to draw from, I really encourage everyone to check it out.
Now, because of the pandemic and all the problems with the coronavirus, Salem, it's going to be a very different experience this year. A lot of businesses are changing their hours and shutting down early, and a lot of that's been mandated from the city. So you can still go to Salem, but it's going to be a different experience, and just plan ahead so that way you can see the things you want to and make plans or reservations where needed.
So we hope you enjoyed our episode on the Pigman House. If you would like to learn more about haunted locations around Salem, download the Salem Ghost Map app in iTunes and Google Play. Also, be sure to check out our website, southernghoststories.com, where you can find old podcasts as well as several of the books we've written. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. Let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had, and we'd love to hear some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
Now, those books Chelsea mentioned are Southern Ghost Stories Historical Hauntings, Haunted Hotels, Ghost of Gallatin, and our latest one, Murfreesboro, Spirits of Stones River. Please check out the Southern Ghost Stories Facebook page, where we still have an event left before Halloween. I'll be at the Shadow Chasers Ghost Walk in Murfreesboro on October 30th. You can find out more details on our Facebook page. Murfreesboro is a cool little town with so much history. I hope you'll come out and hang out with us on the 30th. Now be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful, and we really appreciate everyone who's taking a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we head back to Nashville for Halloween to talk about Traveler's Rest. You jumped the gun there.
Like most artists, Corneille was considered to be eclectic.
Eclectic.
He was electric.
His paintings were electrifying.
I misread it. Like most artists, that strange vegetable Corneille ate, it was a tomato. I need a sip of, my voice is very raspy.
Oh, we'll get you some water. Please taste.
I'll open it myself.
Okay. Glug, 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 glug. You said a sip, not a chug.
I was quite parched.
You know, Corneille grew the...
Nope, I'm starting over.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got a Halloween joke for you. What's it like to be kissed by a vampire? It's a pain in the neck. Oh, come on, that's pretty good.